Good morning. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it is 31 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today is Thursday, February 23rd, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. House Majority Leader Alan Osterman says he's open to changes to a bill that would reestablish an Alaska Coastal Management Program. House Bill 325 was introduced on Friday with Osterman as primary sponsor. Six other members of the House Majority Caucus, four Democrats and two Republicans, co-sponsored the bill. Minority Leader Juneau Democrat Beth Kurtula signed on as a co-sponsor immediately after its introduction on the House floor. The bill was referred to the House Resources and Finance Committees. Osterman says he'll request a hearing as soon as possible.
We will request a hearing on it. We will suggest changes that may or may not need to be made. And we will deal with any changes that people suggest as far as the process is concerned and what the bill should look like.
House Bill 325 closely mirrors a citizens' initiative on track for a statewide vote later this year. Lawmakers can preempt the measure with substantially similar legislation and would have a lot of leeway in doing so. The initiative proposes a coastal management program that gives local communities quite a bit more input than a bill that failed in the House last year. Osterman says the fact that initiative backers collected the required signatures in less than a month shows there's strong support for that version of the program.
If I look at just the initiative process and the amount of people that and time frame that it took to generate those signatures to get it on the ballot, I think it shows a lot of support in reference to recreating the program.
Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello is prime sponsor of the initiative and chairman of the Alaska Sea Party, the group behind the signature gathering effort. Botello has said the Sea Party prefers to have the legislature take action because it would help the program get up and running faster and avoid a costly campaign to convince voters to approve the measure. Before closing last year, the Alaska Coastal Management Program allowed the state and local communities to have greater input into federal permitting decisions along Alaska's coastline. It also helped developers by streamlining the regulatory processes of various state and federal agencies. The legislature failed to reauthorize it after the Parnell administration, and some House Republicans fought efforts to expand the role of local communities. A walk through any forest trail around Sitka, or probably anywhere in Southeast for that matter, will reveal that this has been a windy winter. Broken branches and toppled trees are just about everywhere. The same winds wreaking havoc on land are also a problem at sea. The State Ferry Kennecott postponed a scheduled cross-Gulf voyage earlier in February due to heavy weather. Built in 1998, the Kennecott is one of the state's newer ships. It is 385 feet long, or about 1 1/3 football fields. The Kennecott and the Tustamina are the ferry system's two ships rated for open ocean travel. What kind of weather could keep it tied to the dock? On Friday, February 3rd, Sitka experienced sustained winds of 53 miles per hour throughout much of the morning and recorded a peak gust of 86 miles per hour. Meteorologist Joel Curtis with the National Weather Service in Juneau says he and his colleagues have been analyzing data from the Cape Fairweather buoy. I recently spoke with Curtis about the recorded sea height offshore on that Friday morning.
48, and actually, if you want to put decimals on it, was 48.6 feet.
Yeah, with decimals, like you're out there with a meter stick.
Yeah, that's absolutely insane. But why don't we say very close to 50 feet?
Oh, no ship is going to weather it particularly well.
No ship is going to weather it well. There's nothing on the ocean that is going to have a good day in a 50-foot sea. And, oh, by the way, the period was 17 seconds. That means you get hit by a 50-foot wave every 17 seconds.
Wow. So I'm looking out at the O'Connell Bridge right now, and I'm guessing it's about 50 feet high.
I think that's just about right for the bridge, man.
And it's, wow, it would be...
Mountainous.
Yeah.
Mountainous is the word.
For the record, the reported clearance under the O'Connell Bridge is 53 feet, depending on the tide. You can check out the wave data from the Fairweather buoy yourself. Look for the link on our website, kcaw.org. Bear in mind that the buoy data will be given in meters. Backers of biomass energy pitched wood pellet heat as a money saver during a Tuesday legislative hearing, Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Alaska Energy Authority staff and others talked to the House Committee on Economic Development about the Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan. The document recommends developing more pellet heat as well as some expanded hydroelectric generation. AEA Biomass Program Manager Devani Plentovich says high fuel prices have driven many residents to heat with electricity instead of oil.
Unfortunately, as we've switched so much to the space heating, we've seen the reserve hydro just disappear at a remarkable rate, to the point where our utilities are having to supplement the hydro during the winter season with diesel generation, and that's very high-cost diesel generation.
Southeast lawmakers and other officials have called for more hydro projects with more connections to more communities. But the resource plan calls for a larger focus on wood heat in businesses, offices, and schools. And some are already making the switch. Plentovich says wood pellet heat costs less than oil-powered systems and have about the same price tag as electric ones. And, she says, boiler conversions are short-term investments.
The Sea Alaska building, that's going to pay back in about 4.5 years. The Cake School, if that gets funded through the Renewable Energy Fund, that's got about a 6 to 7 year payback. The Coast Guard in Sitka is looking at about a 5 year payback. So these projects have a good economic story.
Energy Authority staff say pellets would be a better deal if a manufacturer opened in Southeast. Now, most are shipped in from British Columbia, and that increases the cost. Ketchikan's Tongass Forest Enterprises is developing a pellet plant in Ward Cove. It's producing test batches now, with plans to supply local boilers. But several Prince of Wales Island groups have had less success. One, Alaska Mills LLC, shelved plans due to a high investment risk. Another, involving small mill owners, has not been able to find financing. AEA project manager Jim Strandberg says low timber harvests are also a barrier to regional pellet production.
One of the major issues in Southeast Alaska is the ability to harvest timber. Since much of the land here is owned by the U.S. Forest Service, access will be a key driver in the ability to develop local industries.
Many of those involved in biomass say the wood from pellets would come from mill waste or logging leftovers. The regional energy plan drew criticism at a House Resources Committee hearing earlier this month. Some speakers wanted stronger support for new hydroelectric development and a larger power grid. Authors say the plan realistically considered the needs of a region where little population growth is expected. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
The draft Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan will next be heard by the House Energy Committee this afternoon. We posted links to the plan and biomass energy information with this report on our website, kcaw.org. The senator representing Alaska's largest legislative district is suggesting major changes to the state's permanent fund and the governor's scholarship program. Albert Kukesh, an Angoon Democrat, spoke during the Native Issues Forum in Juneau yesterday. Kukesh, who could be serving his final term, speculated on what he would do if he was king for a day. He said the $41 billion permanent fund should be divided into three accounts. One, starting with $20 billion, would fund annual dividends. The second, with half of what's left, would become an education endowment. The third would use what remains to form an energy and transportation endowment.
I'm not the king for the day, but that's something I wish we could do, and I wish people would think about it. And I'd take that whole thing for a vote of the people. Tell me what you think, because we could take $20 billion and give you a permanent fund check for the rest of your life and guarantee it.
Kukesh also said he would change Governor Sean Parnell's scholarship program. He said it helps very few rural students who attend small schools with few, if any, specialized staff. He said he told Parnell he would instead put the money into the Head Start preschool program.
I said, Governor, we don't need the money on this end of the spectrum for elite scholars. We need it on the other end of the spectrum for students that are just starting out so they have good beginnings.
Kukesh represents more than 125 villages and small cities in Southeast Prince William Sound and the interior. He's in his 16th year in the legislature. He faces an uphill re-election battle because of reapportionment left him in a Southeast-only district with only a quarter of his current constituents. That puts him up against Sitka Republican Bert Stedman, who will retain about three-quarters of his current Senate district. Governor Sean Parnell has signed a bill easing the state's requirement for certain political candidates to file electronic disclosure information electronically. The governor signed House Bill 311 on Monday, 5 days after it passed both chambers of the Alaska legislature. The bill provides an exemption to the electronic reporting rule for candidates who have no broadband internet access or personal computer at their primary residence. It also delays the requirement from taking effect for 1 year until February 2013 and prevents the Alaska Public Offices Commission from changing requirements in the middle of an election cycle. The electronic reporting requirement only applies to candidates for state office and municipal candidates in communities of 15,000 people or more. The bill breezed through the legislature last week ahead of a Wednesday deadline for candidates to file their first disclosure reports of 2012 and their final reports of 2011. Many lawmakers expressed frustration at the online filing system developed by the Public Offices Commission, calling it slow, clunky, and hard to use. HB 311 modifies regulations the legislature adopted in 2007 in response to a federal corruption probe that ensnared several sitting lawmakers. And finally, one of Mitt Romney's sons is scheduled to be in Alaska today ahead of next month's GOP presidential preference poll. The Romney campaign says Josh Romney will attend meet and greets in Fairbanks and Eagle River. All four of the major candidates for the Republican Party's nomination, Romney, Ron Paul, Rick Santorum, and Newt Gingrich, will be on the March 6th poll ballot in Alaska. So in weather today, calls for snow showers becoming scattered rain and snow showers by this afternoon, highs around 39. This is KCAW in Sitka.